Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt. As always, today is Tuesday, January 23rd. Busy day in terms of planning. Some travel stuff, some soccer games we'll be attending this summer. A lot going on in the NFL world. Plus some surprising NBA action, which we'll talk about. But as always, Matt, let's start with the ick of the week.
Of course.
As I'm pulling this up, reminder, subscribe, review, 5 stars, at MJ Double Take on the social medias. Okay, now last week's ick was green texts. I'm interested to see what you think of this one.
Okay.
Another texting-related one.
Okay, I'm an expert.
Okay, fellas. Saying something and then getting ignored in a group chat. That's an ick.
I mean, I guess, like, that in and of itself isn't the problem. The problem is that you've said something that doesn't merit a response, if that makes sense. So that's a personality thing. You know what I mean?
It's, like, not good at reading the room to, like, know what to say, or...
That's how I would read it. Because if you're in an active group chat and you say something and it doesn't get a response. Well, I guess there's a different thing, because you could be like, if there's a lot of chats coming in, then yours might just get lost because it goes up too high.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if you say something and then nobody says something, then it could just be the thing that you said.
There's kind of two possibilities I'm thinking of. The first one is like there's an ongoing conversation.
Uh-huh.
Like, about a specific topic, you bring up something, like, unrelated, and everyone just keeps talking about what we were talking about.
Yeah.
That's one thing. The second thing, which would be worse, is if it's just radio silent, you say something, and then no one says anything, and then, like, 2 days later, someone says something else.
Yeah.
That's, I think, worst case scenario.
Yeah, I think probably, so.
Because sometimes I'll throw in, like, a laughing emoji, at least, if I'm in a group chat, just so the person doesn't feel disregard it, you know?
Yeah, that's, yeah, and if you're in a group, like, you gotta help your boy out, give him a laughy face or something.
Something. Give him a bone. Yeah. So. Otherwise, girl's gonna dump him, so help him out. Okay. Well, let's start, because there is a couple basketball things I want to talk about before we get to the NFL stuff. Adrian Griffin fired from the Milwaukee Bucks. Did you see this?
I did see this.
I was hoping you understood it more than me. Bucks are, I believe, 30-13. I'm double-checking right now. Oh, the Jazz game's on right now.
Should we get it going?
Yeah, I'll turn that on. So, 30-13, second place in the East, and they fired their coach. Do you think he tried to cut Theonis?
I don't know. I mean, I guess they just think... I think that they think they have a better roster than the Celtics do, and they're not playing as good as the Celtics, is the only thing that I can think of.
Seems a little harsh, though.
I think so. But I think that they certainly think that Giannis is better than Jason Tatum, and they probably think that Dame is at least as good as Jason Tatum, if not better.
They're 3 games back in January, though.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm trying to come up with something. I'm not saying he should have got fired.
I haven't found, honestly, the best theory I've heard is that he was trying to cut Theonis. I don't know what else it would be.
Yeah.
I haven't heard an actual NBA person say, like, something legitimate about that.
Yeah. Can we, I know we're talking about this. Can we just talk about how crazy these Pelicans jerseys are?
Yeah, they're like night vision.
It's like they saw the Jazz's jerseys and were like, hey, let's do a version of those, but with green instead of, yeah, they're just black.
Make them worse.
With neon green. Yeah, so it's like they've combined the Timberwolves and the Jazz uniform is what it feels like to me.
What does it have to do with New Orleans?
I don't know, not as much as Jazz does.
That's true, yeah. I think the Jazz should go back to purple, gold, and yellow. Like, just lean into the Mardi Gras vibe.
Absolutely. Just go straight Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
That would be the best. But yeah, so I don't know. Yeah, I feel like Griffin picks up another job. Like, I think there's a good chance we hear some stuff in the coming days about what was happening. But yeah, I think that they wanted to be playing better quicker, which I just historically think we haven't seen that be the case when you lose as big of a piece as Drew Holiday and bring in as big of a piece as Damian Lillard. Like, it's hard to get going into a total perfect rhythm that fast.
Well, they almost have a 700 like win percentage. They're at 698.
okay, but answer me this. Don't you think that they think they can be doing better? I'm not saying they should be doing better.
I don't. Maybe this is why I'm not an NBA GM. I think it's unrealistic to be think you can do better than 30-13. Obviously,
I think that.
Like, I know Boston's 34-10, so it's not like 30-13 is the best record in the world. But also, if you ask any team, like, hey, first half of the season, you're 30-13. I think they would take that.
Yeah, I think so too.
I can't figure. It must be something going on with like the locker room, right?
I don't know. I still think it's this. I think that they think they can be playing better, even though that's an unfair expectation.
So you think they've been playing worse than their record, according to them?
Yes.
All right. I could see that. Well, if we find out something, we'll let you know.
Yeah.
As far as anything else.
But yeah, it is a surprising firing for sure.
The only other, basketball thing I want to talk about, North Carolina is undefeated in conference play, 8-0, beating Wake Forest and North Carolina State as far as in-state games go. I haven't played Duke yet this season. They're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
RJ Davis, best point guard in the country, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, this is interesting time for college basketball for sure. Nice to see North Carolina doing well in the regular season, you know, because they've had a couple of rough regular seasons, even though they went to the finals a couple years ago.
Yeah, they haven't won the regular season, like the ACC regular season, in a long time. Like, you think they would have won it much more recently than they have.
Right.
So hopefully they can keep it up. Should we get to the NFL?
Yes,
let's talk college football real quick. There's one thing I want to talk about, and then we'll get to the NFL. I apologize. Ohio State is going nuts. We needed to talk about that.
Yeah.
Because we haven't talked about that, right?
We have not talked about this.
The people they're bringing back, let me pull up a list of like the people they're bringing back from with NIL dollars. Because it's absolutely bonkers. So first, Emeka Ibuka, who I think is one of the best wide receivers in the country. Linebacker Cody, I'm not going to, that's literally like too many people to read. Jack Sawyer is a big one. Denzel Burke, cornerback. Igbuka, obviously. They got JT Tuimaloau. JT is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're bringing in, so first they signed Aaron Noland, quarterback from Florida.
Yeah.
Bringing in Julian Sain, who transferred from Alabama. He was a true freshman there. Well, no, he wasn't a true freshman. He literally had been on campus like a week, and then Nick Saban left. So then he transferred to Ohio State. So they brought in two of the top quarterbacks in this class. And they're bringing in Caleb Downs. I think he's the best player in the country. True freshman, All-American, All-SEC, safety. To play with Denzel Burke in that defense.
Mm-hmm.
They brought in Will Howard, who it's not like I'm in love with, but very experienced quarterback, won the Big 12. They are going nuts. This is insane.
Well, yeah. I
don't even know what to think about it.
Michigan winning the national championship was very bad for them.
Really kicked them into gear. I think because Ohio State is not in the South, people don't realize how like maybe crazy that fan base is outside of Ohio. It might be number two to Tuscaloosa as far as just like lunatics.
Yeah. Just like we can be the best. We want to be the best.
Just unhinged. People want to fire Ryan Day. He's lost like, I think three regular season games in like four or five years.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's nuts.
It's insane. Well, they're not going to have an excuse if they don't win at least the Big Ten this year.
For sure.
What's crazy, like, Oregon's going to be good. Oregon could win the Big Ten. I said before Caleb Downs committed, because he's either going to go to Ohio State or Georgia, that I might just pick wherever he goes to win the national championship. Because Georgia brings – here's the thing. Georgia has Carson Beck,
who's,
I trust much more. And they're not losing a ton of people compared to what they've lost the last couple years. Lost Brock Bowers, obviously. So I think early it's going to be Georgia or Ohio State as kind of the top two.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's groundbreaking. I haven't made a pick yet on who I think will win the national championship, but I think it'll be one of those two.
One of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're rumored to have spent between 13 or 17 million on NIL deals. And that's not including Marvin Harrison's offer, which was reportedly, I don't necessarily buy, it's reportedly around 20 million. Which, you know, they're trying to match his first round draft pick.
So. Right, yeah, which is, yeah, that is a lot of money for a college kid. That's like a couple years ago, Alabama spent, I don't remember if it was $50 million or $100 million for a new training facility, and they could have used that money to give everybody on the roster $50,000 a salary basically for the next 100 years. So they're like halfway to that.
Yeah. Did you see Caden Proctor? Have you heard the name Caden Proctor? Left tackle of Alabama?
This the kid who went to Iowa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's from Iowa. Coming out of high school, he was between Iowa and Alabama, and he almost went to Iowa. Transferred back to Iowa after Nick Saban left. He was at like an Iowa basketball game or even like maybe a high school game, and some reporter was talking about it, and Caden Proctor said that Iowa like reached out to him in the middle of the season, which is obviously illegal.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think coaches are like getting sick of like having to recruit your players like 100% of the time.
Right.
Because every coach is tampering. Like, it's unrealistic to assume that schools aren't tampering. It's just got to be annoying, though. I think just the people are going to get fed up with this where something changes. I don't know what, because the cat's out of the bag, but some sort of change, I think, is going to happen. At least, like, kind of guidelines or parameters or timing or something.
Yeah, no, what we're doing now is definitely not working.
Unsustainable.
So.
It's very interesting, though.
It is interesting. Yeah, no, I think, yeah, and I mean, I know we've said this before, but if the schools are the ones paying the players, then we can be accountable and we can know where all the money is coming from, where all the money is going. That money can only go to the players at certain times, so tampering becomes more difficult. It's still going to happen because you can't oversee, you know, college sports in the way that you could with the NBA or the NFL. But yeah, I think having the actual schools pay the players is a first step.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Yeah, I just wanted to bring up Ohio State because truly, truly unprecedented what's going on there. Let's talk NFL playoffs.
Cool.
I think that's what the people are here to see.
Let's do it.
Let's start. Well, let's go in game order. Texans, Ravens. It was close, 10-10 at halftime. Texans had a punt return that, you know, to keep it at 10. But, and I love CJ Stroud, but that Baltimore defense just had him locked up. Houston never scored an offensive touchdown the whole game. And Baltimore just kind of kicked it into gear in the second half. Baltimore is scary.
They look very, very good.
They look fantastic.
Yeah, I think especially given with how the 49ers played, I think you have to say they look like the best team in the NFL.
That 49ers game, I almost had an aneurysm. I was so, what were we doing? What was going on? Jordan Love's a good player.
He's a great player, yeah.
Man, that game, so many things. If, like, Darnell Savage gets that pick six, doesn't drop that interception in the first quarter, you know, three or four things that went the 49ers' way. They still had to go down and score at the end. The big conversation, though, there's this guy who writes for The Athletic who I think I hate, like, Homer journalism, Homer reporting.
Yeah.
Here's why. The dude was like, you know, Brock Purdy got it done, clutch drive at the end to win the game. That's what Joe Montana did. I was like, okay, we can't watch that game and draw Joe Montana comparisons.
Right.
Like, is there a middle ground where Brock Purdy is somewhere between Jimmy Garoppolo and Joe Montana? Because that's where I'd like to believe he is. And it seems like I'm the only person in At least in 49ers world, who thinks that?
Well, I think that's where every quarterback lives, is between Jimmy Garoppolo and Joe Montana.
That's what I would think. You know? Literally, like, there couldn't be a bigger spectrum. You can put him anywhere in between that you'd like, and people just, like, refuse to do it. It's either, like, he's a system quarterback, doesn't matter, Kyle Shanahan. Like, you could put me back there and it'd be the same thing. Or it's this athletic writer who are like, he's Joe Montana reincarnated. It's like, there's a middle ground. Let's have some nuance. Not everything's black and white. He played pretty poorly, missed some throws. Was that one of his worst games? Yes. Has he played well? Yes. There are some issues, though.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Now, I think calling for nuance, I think if we were better at editing, it would be fun to play back some of the clips of you talking about Brock Purdy from last year. Because you were, you literally said he was Joe Montana. That is actually what you said.
Here's the thing, and I'm not denying that. Just, I had so many crappy years of Jimmy Garoppolo and Colin Kaepernick and Nick Mullins and CJ Beathard and Jeff Garcia. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And finally, like, there's a quarterback who's not, Jeff Garcia wasn't that bad. Jeff Garcia was good. But, like, finally the quarterback is, like, not objectively terrible. He's, like, a plus player. I just didn't know. I've never, truly, my adult and childhood life never had that.
Yeah.
Because Steve Young, that Super Bowl they won, I was two. So the first quarterback I remember is Jeff Garcia. The first quarterback I really remember is Alex Smith for the 49ers.
Yeah.
Who I loved. Tough situation, though, for Alex.
Yeah, a lot of offensive coordinators.
I was also on my mission when they went to the Super Bowl, when, you know, Alex Smith was playing his best, when Colin Kaepernick went to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I missed out on a lot.
Yes, yeah, those were two really bummer years to miss for you.
I just got so excited watching Brock Purdy. Like, that Tampa Bay game last year where he, like, ducked under a linebacker and threw, like, a dart to the sideline. I'd never seen a 49ers quarterback be able to do that before.
Yeah.
And especially watching Jimmy Garoppolo for years, mm-hmm. run out of the back of the end zone and throw an interception with his eyes closed in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Miss her receiver by 15 yards.
Well, hey, I mean, we can't all be, you know, lucky enough to have Nick Foles as the quarterback of our team, so.
We can't be. We can't be. So, I got overexcited last year. Here's the thing. Do I think Brock Purdy's a good quarterback? Yes. Would I take CJ Stroud in a neutral situation? Not even thinking about it, I would.
Yeah.
I think that's fair, though.
I think that's very fair. Yeah, I think you can be happy with Brock Purdy and recognize he's probably not a top 10 quarterback in the NFL.
Well, on the 49ers offense, this was my thing with Stetson Bennett. I was like, he's the 20th best starter on Georgia's team. He should not be a Heisman finalist.
Yeah.
If we look at 49ers offense, so 11 players, like 100%, Christian McCaffrey's better, Trent Williams is better. I would say George Kittle's better from a positional standpoint. I would say Debo Samuel and Ayuk. We can argue those. But, like, at absolute best, zero discussion, Brock's the fourth best player, like, for his, like, not factoring in positional value.
Right.
Really, I even think Juszczyk is better.
Yeah.
So Brock's, like, the seventh best player.
Yeah. On the offense.
On the offense. That's not even counting, like, Nick Bosa and all those defensive guys. Fred Warner. Mm-hmm. So.
Right.
But that's fine. Like, the 49ers win. They don't care.
Yeah. Well, part of what I think happened, I heard Bomani talking a little bit about how Debo was hurt, you know, not at least 100%. So you look back to all the games that Debo was missed and how bad the 49ers looked in the season, I think maybe Debo should be the MVP.
That's actually something I was saying during the game. Like, you weren't there, but I was watching with our mom. Debo got hurt. And I told her this is just going to be like the Cleveland game.
Yeah.
Like, Brock doesn't look good without McCaffrey and or Debo.
Right.
Which is understandable.
Yeah. So, which, by the way, good for him for beating a good Packers team. Like, this is something we're going to see the Packers as a 7 seed. But they played so much better the last 10 games of the season than they did the first 7. So, they're way better in a 7 seed.
They took the 49ers took the punches and rolled with it. There's a stat chain. It was like 0-30 or something like that. If they're trailing by like five or more in the fourth quarter, now they're 1-30.
Yeah.
So like, I think getting that would come from behind win, getting that confidence. I don't know how much it's going to help in the locker room, but it's not going to hurt. Like, let's say they get down to Detroit or they get down to Baltimore. Like, they can say, like, hey, we've done this before. Where before it could have been like, I think we can do it. I know we can do it. Now it's like, we have done this before. We
can't. Yes. Yeah.
And credit to Brock. Like, he didn't. I didn't think he played very well. We blame it on the rain. People make fun of hand size. It does matter.
Uh-huh.
But he did, you know, at the end, make enough throws when needed. The offense scored. McCaffrey's awesome. I think he's the best athlete. Him or Cristiano, like, in their prime, I would say, are probably the two best athletes in the last just 10 years.
Athletic people.
Athletic performance, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I would be interested to see, you know, Taysom. I think he's got more strength than either of those guys, but he's not nearly as fast.
Yeah.
Certainly shifty, but those guys are both way faster than he is.
But anyway, yeah, so Niners gutted it out. The Packers are good. I love, like, every year in the draft they get, well, obviously Jordan Love 1 year, but they get, like, a safety or, like, Jair Alexander or, like, a defensive lineman. And their receivers are fine. Like, obviously people want to get receivers, and I think they can upgrade at receiver. But they're a good team, and Matt LaFleur is a good coach.
Yeah.
And, like, Jordan Love showed enough, I think they can, you know, be fine with him, you know, give him at least another year or two, if not more. Like, I don't want to say, like, he is the guy, but I don't think they're, like, looking for a quarterback this offseason.
Yes, no, they definitely don't have to look for a quarterback. I think, yeah, no, like, get through his rookie deal, see what you can do. I think you can do some interesting stuff there. So,
yeah.
Them and the Lions next year in the same division will be a lot of fun.
Well, let's talk about the Lions, because that was the next game, beat the Bucks. This, I didn't even notice this because, like, at the end of the game, I was, like, kind of cooking. I think you were maybe reading or something.
Uh-huh.
So, but after I saw people saying this, the Lions took a knee too early. The Buccaneers could have called a timeout, forced the Lions to kick a field goal. Maybe they miss and they get, like, a Hail Mary shot.
Right.
Obviously, you want to do that.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't have, like, a defense thing. I do think it's unrealistic, but you also kind of got to take your shot. So I don't know if Todd Bowles was like, we're not going to win, like, let's just get out of here, or kind of a blank, like, wasn't thinking about it. But,
well, the other thing is, like, because not only the Buccaneers should know that, the Lions should know that too. So shouldn't the Lions at least tried to run it to get the first down, knowing that the Buccaneers had a timeout?
Yeah.
So, like, do you think they just talked and agreed? It's like, hey, we'll kneel it if you don't call a timeout or something? Like, that's crazy.
Like, the captains, kind of?
I don't know.
Well, Todd, well, I don't know. Yeah.
Like, it's just the whole situation doesn't make any sense.
Kind of screwed up. Clock management, like, Kyle Shanahan did some terrible clock stuff. Clock management was kind of a theme of the weekend.
Yeah.
I love the Lions, though. What a team. Detroit was rocking. Sounded like it was a little bit loud from what the commentator said. It was louder when Matt Stafford came back, which is understandable.
Right.
But, man, Dan Campbell, Jared Goff, they're on a mission. Like, that whole team.
It is. What do you think it is about Detroit? Because, like, when the Cubs won the World Series, everybody was excited. And when the Cavaliers won their championship, everybody was excited. But I don't think I've seen the country be in love with a team in the way that they are with Detroit. Like, this feels like a sentimental story in the way that the other ones have not.
Yeah, I think it's a few things. I think Detroit, like, we saw them go 0-16, mm-hmm. You know, like, probably, well, not probably. Like, a worse franchise than the Jets. Like,
yeah.
Like, probably the worst franchise in the country.
Right.
We see him play on Thanksgiving every year. So, but not only are they the worst, we see him on national television get embarrassed every year.
Yeah. Well, and that's another thing that's weird, is it doesn't, it doesn't feel like a joke. Like, if the Browns get this far, it doesn't feel like a joke. And I know the Browns have won playoff games more recently than the Lions have.
Yeah.
But
I think Dan Campbell, like, have you seen that speech from Hard Knocks last year about, like, hit tackling?
No, I haven't.
So, or, like, he did an interview. He's just super authentic. Like, he just, like, legitimately cares about his player. Like, the clip from Hard Knocks, they're in practice, and he was talking about, like, he didn't want to, like, go live, like, you know, do live tackling. He doesn't want people to get hurt, but he's like, we got to get to where we want to be. We got to do it. And, like, I'm doing everything I can. I understand where you guys are coming from. Like, it's just, like, super authentic, but also, like, this is what we need to do
yeah.
to win. And, like, combined with, like, Jared Goff, number one pick, and the Rams traded a first-round pick to get rid of him, basically.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's kind of just like that, you know, cast-off is, I don't know. It's authentic is the only, like, I've said that word before.
Yeah.
But, like, other situations, like, Cleveland, like, obviously Stefanski wants to win, but, like, Dan Campbell, like, he wants to win because he, like, loves Detroit and, like, loves the players.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And Stefanski, I don't know him, so, like, not throwing him under the bus, but just, like, there's something more to Dan Campbell and the Lions.
Yeah, just, are the Lions the worst franchise in the United States, do you think?
I think over the last, like, 30 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, look, they were so bad, Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson just quit.
That is, like, maybe the two best players ever at their position.
Just,
like,
couldn't do it.
That, yeah, when you say it like that, that's pretty great. That's, yeah.
Like, Barry Sanders, like, everyone who's seen him is like, he's the best player I've ever seen. He's just like, I can't do it anymore. And Calvin Johnson, like, the freakiest receiver of all time, he's just like, I'm done.
Yeah.
They didn't even try to get traded or anything. It was just like, I can't.
Just like, I'm done. I hate the sport. Yeah. I gave my life to it, and I don't want to
That's
anymore.
How bad Detroit is they broke Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson.
Oh, man. That's crazy. Yeah. Because, like, yeah, the Browns have won some playoff games. The Jets, I feel like, have been to an AFC championship. Didn't they get to an AFC championship with Mark Sanchez?
They got to two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they've had good teams, and yeah, Detroit, like, this is the only time Detroit has had a good team. Last year they were good, but didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, they can be good for a while.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like a one, like, they didn't, like, put all their chips in this year. Like, they'll be good. They got, like, Penei Sewell, Sam Laporta, Jahmyr Gibbs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Brian Branch, Aiden Hutchinson. Like, most of their good players are on their rookie contract.
It does feel like they have not missed on a draft pick.
They've done well.
Yeah.
They've done very well.
I was excited about the Eagles drafting Brian Branch.
Jahmyr, yeah, he would have been great.
Yeah.
You really needed Brian Branch this year. Jahmyr Gibbs, that cut he made when he was running right at Antoine Winfield, the safety, and then just was like, no, I'm going to the corner.
Yeah.
It was like a drill that, like, we would do in Little League, like a tackling drill where there'd be cones. And, like, the running back would pick a direction and the defender would have to go. And he's just a special player. I was telling people in my fantasy league for, like, 2 years, like, the Georgia Tech kid is really good. Then he transferred to Bama. And, like, just what he can do in space is unbelievable. Combine that with David Montgomery, it's crazy. So, yeah, running back at 12, that's a lot. But if you're viewing it from, like, a playmaker perspective...
Yeah, and see, well, people talk about how running back is a low-value position. You shouldn't spend a lot of money on it. But, like, I think the reason the Eagles ran away with the running game is because running backs aren't going to do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, at some point, you need your running back to make big plays, or it's helpful if they do. And, you know, spending a high draft pick is a great way to do that.
Yeah, combined with they have one of the best offensive lines in the league, top. A lot of people think number one. We'll say top five for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely helps. They do need a second receiver because Amon-Ra St. Brown's awesome. Sam Laporte is awesome. And I like Josh Reynolds, but I think they need a better upgrade at the number two or three receiver.
Yeah.
Is my offseason note for Detroit.
I can see that. Oh, also, I forgot to talk about this. Zach Ertz was just available the whole time. Like, the Eagles could have got Zach Ertz.
Yeah, he got bought out or released or whatever in, like, October, I think.
Isn't there, like, because doesn't the NBA have a thing, like, past this day, like, 2 weeks into the regular season, you can't sign players anymore? Like, it's crazy. And I guess I knew that, like, because I knew the Eagles signed a tight end, like, the week before the Super Bowl in, like, 2000 or 2004 or whatever year that was. Yeah, that just seems crazy that that's allowed. But
yeah, I forgot about him because, like, the 49ers and, like, last I heard, like, in literally October, like, 49ers and Bills and I think the Cowboys are interested in signing Ertz. And then I just never heard anything.
Yeah.
So, you think, good for him.
It's crazy that nobody signed him. Like, I guess I haven't seen him play in a long time, but
I would love the Niners to sign him.
Yeah.
But, because Kittle's awesome, but our number two and three tight ends are just like, whatever, so.
Right, so, yeah, like, might as well take a shot.
Exactly.
I don't know how much money he was asking for, but.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting, because he's probably not going to get a whole lot of action in the NFC Championship against the Niners, but if they win, that gives him 3 weeks to, like, learn the playbook and get some stuff in for him.
Yeah, well, and, like, you can give Zach Ertz, you know, five, or like send him in once a drive. It's like, hey, you are going to run this route, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so
you maybe they stuff. Did it just to screw with the 49ers.
Yeah, not a terrible idea, honestly. Because
now, like, they don't know how much he's going to be used.
Right.
Let's talk about the Chiefs game, and then we'll do the previews of the championship games. Josh Allen's throw, I think it went 64 yards. I thought it was 65. I think it was 64 officially that Diggs dropped.
Uh-huh.
What a throw.
Yeah.
What a throw.
It was a very nice throw.
I don't have any, like, main, like, huge takeaways from that from the Bills' perspective, because that's what I thought was going to happen and what we've come to expect from the Bills. So I don't know why people are, like, surprised or angry or, like, we need to change a ton of stuff. I get if you want to change a ton of stuff because you keep losing in the divisional round.
But. Yeah, I mean, you got to do something, it feels like. But
what are your thoughts on the Bills as an organization?
I think I don't know. I mean, yeah, I don't know what else they're supposed to do because you're not going to get a quarterback better than Josh Allen, right? You know,
no, for all his flaws and all his turnovers, he's still a top five.
Yeah, I think five, yeah, definitely.
Somewhere in there.
So, yeah, I mean, you got a great receiver. I thought Kincaid was going to play a little bit better than he did this year. I thought I was going to hear his name a little bit more.
Yeah, he's picked it up. It was a rough start, especially compared to Laporta.
Yeah.
But he's been a little better.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah, it feels like those are the only other players on the offense I know, so it feels like they could use another receiver or two.
But. Yeah. Well, and this was kind of like the Eagles last year, but really this year was the last year for the Bills before they're kind of in cap misery, and they're going to have to make some tough decisions.
Yeah.
Which is what's tough, because they, unlike the Lions, have kind of put all their chips in.
Right.
As far as, you know, creating room by, like, converting some of the salary to signing bonus for players, getting players like Von Miller. You know, there's just a lot going on where they're going to have to make some really tough choices. So I'm not excited if I'm a Bills fan.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it doesn't feel good to be a Bills fan right now.
If I'm a Chiefs fan, A, you feel great because you beat Buffalo again.
Uh-huh.
We can go into the previews. I'm nervous about Baltimore if I'm a Chiefs fan. Maybe Chiefs fans are just like, we're the best. And
we have Patrick Mahomes. They're kind of
delusional, which they have a right to be delusional.
Uh-huh.
And they do have Patrick Mahomes. People, whenever people say anyone besides Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL, it bugs me so much.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's insane.
What are we doing, guys? Like, we don't have to overthink it. Patrick Mahomes is the best. And I think we've talked about this, maybe even on the podcast last week, but I think within the last couple weeks we've talked about this. I think Mahomes' best game was the Super Bowl that they lost to Tampa.
Uh-huh.
Where he was running for his life and making incredible plays.
Yeah, that was the sideways throw was that Super Bowl.
Yeah, where he's like horizontal to just the ground.
Totally laid out, yeah.
No, it's crazy.
So, yeah, no, it's, and it's not that he's like, because I think you could see some of those things and it's like, oh, that's just kind of a fancy thing. But, like, that sideways throw is a good example of, like, no, that throw's not getting made unless he throws it like that. And he's the only person in the history of the world who would be able to complete that throw.
Yeah. There's a video of Brandon Crawford when he was in Double A with the Richmond Flying Squirrels. And he was practicing trick plays from, like, getting the ball to, like, to either second or first, like, behind his back or through his legs or, like, from his glove or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And everyone's like, what are you doing? And he's like, you know, one out of every 10,000 balls, you might need this.
Right.
And then as he's doing that, it shows him doing the exact same thing in the major leagues.
That's crazy.
And Patrick Holmes is kind of the same way. Like, he's not doing it for fun. Like, that's just, like, Brandon Crawford's like, sometimes, like, this is the only way to get the ball out, like, behind his back or through the legs or whatever, you know, or, like, barehanding it.
Yeah.
And Patrick Holmes is like, he's not no-looking just for fun.
Right.
Like, I'm sure in training camp he is, but, like, In the actual game, like, all the stuff he's doing, it's the only way to do it.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
And he's, like, the only one who can do it.
Yeah, no, there's a reason that you've never seen anybody do it before is because they can't.
Yeah.
Right?
No, it's so crazy.
Yeah.
Now, Lamar does some things no one's ever seen before either. It's crazy. Probably going to win a second MVP. Played well in a playoff game, which was a lot of people were being critical of, and fairly so. You have to see it first. And it's AFC Championship in Baltimore. Ravens are 3.5-point favorites. We got Patrick Mahomes. This is his 6th AFC Championship in a row. Furthest Lamar Jackson's been in the playoffs. Off an MVP year. Probably the best Baltimore team, at least since their last Super Bowl team, if not even longer than that.
Yeah, I feel like we gloss over and people don't pay attention. 6 AFC Championships in a row. That is so many.
I saw a stat that in the AFC Championship, the last 14 years, it's either been New England or Kansas City. But, like, New England went to 8 in a row, and then Kansas City went to 6 in a row.
So yeah. Right.
No, it's insane. The last 5 have been in Kansas City, too.
Yeah.
So this is the first, like, road AFC Championship game. But, like, the floor for Patrick Mahomes, Kevin Clark said this, is the AFC Championship game. Like, if you're a Chiefs fan, you can say the worst we're going to do is get to the conference championship game. And
yes.
There's a lot of evidence to back that up.
Yeah.
No other team can say that.
No, which is true. Which is interesting because, you know, being an Eagles fan, the conference championship is kind of the floor for Andy Reid, too.
Yeah, he went to, I think, 4 straight in Philly.
Yeah, 4 straight. He went to, I believe he went to, like, 6 total.
Yeah.
So
6 total, 4 straight, and then 6 here, so 12 total conference championship games.
Yeah.
That's not too bad.
Yeah.
Now, he's only won 2 Super Bowls, so that's not great. But you're getting there, you give yourself a chance. That's all you can ask for.
Yeah, no, there's... Yeah, I would absolutely rather have a coach who's losing in the conference championship than just not getting there.
Yeah, so. Exactly. It's like, that's the people that... Not to get into a LeBron-Jordan thing, but when people are like, oh, LeBron's lost in the finals. Like, he's been there way, like, twice as much.
Yeah. For sure.
Like, it's better to lose in the finals than losing the conference finals.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't know why that's a thing. I don't know why we give Michael a pass for losing the Magic, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, anyway, yeah. So, who do you got? Ravens, Chiefs?
I think... I don't know. The Ravens just look really, really good. And I know Patrick Mahomes is special, but I don't know... Who else is special on that team, you know?
Yeah, it's the worst offense they've had in this stretch.
Yeah.
Probably the best defense, but it's the worst offense they've had in this stretch.
Yeah, worst offense, you know, and Travis Kelce, you know, I think it's getting overlooked because of all the Taylor Swift things. This is probably the worst season of his career. You know, he's 34, 33 at this point.
At least recently, yeah.
Yeah.
Most drops. I think he's had the most drops in the last few years.
Yeah, which, you know... Given what's happening with the rest of the receivers, is not ideal.
Suboptimal.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what sucks if you're a Bills fan. Like, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, like, actually, like, made some plays.
Yeah.
You gotta feel like you're cursed if you're a Bills fan.
Yeah, no, that would... It'd be really fun for the Chiefs to draft... I know there's no way they're not getting Marvin Harrison, but if they got, like, a first-round receiver, I think that'd be fun.
Yeah. No, yeah, they need it. I think... And part of this is just because I've seen Baltimore destroy Miami, embarrass San Francisco at home. Now, I do think that San Francisco game, if Brock doesn't throw that interception, like, if he throws that ball a second earlier and Kyle Hamilton doesn't pick that off, I don't think it's a blowout. But he did, and the Ravens did blow out the Niners. So that's my lasting memory of the Ravens.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pick the Ravens. But it's kind of one of those things where if the Chiefs win, I'd be like, why did I pick against Patrick Mahomes? I'm an idiot.
Yes.
I'm just doing the same thing. But Baltimore's looks so good.
Yeah, no, I think they're good. And, like, yeah, Lamar, he's not better than Patrick Mahomes. I do think he's special, you know, even given those losses in the playoffs. He's still really, really young. Like, I think he's too young to have that sort of label of not being a good playoff quarterback.
Yeah. I don't want to have recency bias, but I truly think this Baltimore team is as good as I've felt about any NFL team in the last, like, 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think of specific teams. Like, I think Baltimore just looks so good.
No. Uh-huh.
If we go to the NFC, everyone's favorite, Detroit. I love Detroit. I love everything about them. Playing the Niners, though, in Santa Clara.
First road game of the playoffs for Detroit.
First road game of the playoffs for Detroit. Jared Goff's going back home from Marin County.
He is going back home.
Yeah. Played at Berkeley. All those things are, like, so far away from San Francisco. It's so annoying how the 49ers play, like, an hour away from San Francisco.
Yeah, it sucks.
And then, like, the drone flyouts are all over, like, the Bay Bridge and, like, Transamerica building and Coit Tower and stuff. It's like, this is nowhere near Santa Clara.
Right.
I love Detroit. I think the Niners are going to win. I think Brock, there's no way Brock Purdy plays worse than that. Debo, I think, is 50-50, which I think in the playoffs means he's going to play.
Yeah.
So, hypothetically, if Debo plays, they got the Avengers back. I like the 49ers there. But Detroit's going to fight. I think it'll be a close game. It's San Francisco's favored by 7. I don't think they would win by more than a possession, would be my assumption. I think it'd be a one-possession game.
Right.
What are your thoughts?
I agree with that. I just think it kind of depends how Debo plays. If he's in the game but is kind of, you know, mediocre, not 100%, I think that makes it a lot closer. I think if he is healthy, I just think that Kyle Shanahan can do enough stuff. And that defense is really, really good. It's going to be the best defense that Detroit has played. I know Tampa Bay's got a pretty good defense, but San Francisco, I feel like that defense can just do absolutely everything.
If Debo, yeah. No, it's true. And the corners, they keep getting mid-round guys, but Ambry Thomas, DeMondre Lenore, like, these guys who I really liked coming out of college, and when we drafted them, I was excited, but they aren't like Jair Alexander, you know, top of the league guys.
Yeah.
But when you have Nick Bosa and Chase Young and Eric Armstead, like, every guy on the defensive line is a monster. You don't need Jalen Ramsey.
Right, exactly.
Now, our safeties are Logan Ryan and Deshaun Gibson, like, in their mid-30s. That concerns me quite a bit. Or a rookie, with Jair Brown from Penn State. So that's uh-huh. concerning for me defensively. But I think we'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I would pick the 49ers to win. I just think that Detroit hasn't played a team nearly as good as San Francisco yet.
It's one of the, and the 49ers linebackers, Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw, I think they'll be able to contain Gibbs better than other teams would be.
Yes.
If Detroit had another weapon, like, because we can really shadow Amon-Ra St. Brown,
uh-huh.
Fred Warner, and Ambry Thomas, or, like, the safety help or whatever.
Yeah.
If they had another, that's why you need another, and the same thing with the Eagles we talked about. Like, having multiple, like, legit threats is so important.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So we're both picking the Niners in a close game.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Are you ready for the top five?
Let's do it.
Okay, this one's pretty hard.
Okay.
I'll say.
Yes, I am prepared. I'm ready to go.
You beat me. I have a 6-4 edge. You've beat me the last 2 or 3 times. This one is the teams that have picked number one in the NFL draft the most frequently.
Number one most frequently.
I'll give you a hint. It's not like I don't want to give you a team, but it's not like just like the teams you think of that suck always. It's not just those teams.
It's not just those teams. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, I do think I know I know that you just gave me this hint. But it does feel like Cleveland has had a lot of number one picks.
Yeah, Cleveland is on there.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't want to mention like a specific team.
Yeah.
But yeah, Cleveland is there's two teams with seven and three teams with five. Cleveland's one of the five ones.
Okay. Cool.
Three in the last 20 years.
In the last twenty years. Wow.
Well, in 99. So they 99, 2000, 17, and 2018.
Okay. Cool. So Cleveland with one. I kinda wanna say I'm thinking the Texans, I'm thinking the Jaguars, I'm thinking the Colts.
Now, I will say the NFL goes back a long time, so the newer team's going to be hard to be on there.
That's true, yeah. Okay, so this is, yeah, so this is just always. That is another hint. Now, would the Colts, maybe this would be giving away the answer, so I'll save the Colts till the end. Just to see, because I don't know if whether they're counting Baltimore as the Ravens or the Colts or whatever.
So. Baltimore's counted as the Colts.
Baltimore's count.
Like the Baltimore Colts.
Count as
the Colts.
With the Indianapolis Colts.
With the
Colts.
Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, okay. Well, let's say the Colts then.
Yeah. They have seven. Their three is Baltimore Colts. The four is Indianapolis Colts.
Okay.
Bums me out that you're two for two already.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. This could be tricky.
You're kind of just literally guessing at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, just think of like older teams for the most part. Like, which is like, it's not the Texans because they've been around like 20 years.
Sure. Well, the fact that the Bears have only won one Super Bowl kind of makes me want to say the Bears.
No, three times.
Bears have done three times.
Bears, so no. And one of them is this year.
Okay.
So Bears are no, so that's strike one.
See, Panthers are too new, even though they're too bad. Cardinals are sort of new. Let's say
Arizona Cardinals are new.
Arizona Cardinals are new. Because before they were the who?
Chicago Cardinals.
Oh, that's... Wait, I thought... Aren't the Chicago Bears, like... So, were there two Chicago teams for a sec?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. The Raiders.
The Raiders are not one. Let's see how many they have. The Raiders only have one number of one pick.
Interesting.
2007. Okay. The Boston Yanks have more number one picks than the Raiders.
The Boston Yanks.
Yeah, they have two.
That's a weird name for a team.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's... I mean, I can't not guess the Lions, you know?
They're at four, so the next team...
I feel like you gave me that hint, and it's been throwing me off. okay. So,
well, I was trying to tell you, like, not Detroit and, like not the bad teams we were talking about.
But you just said it was Detroit, right?
No, like, not Detroit. Like, they're
oh,
they're not.
They have four. I thought you said they were four on the list.
No, they have four. So
oh, okay. But they're, I was, the but they're close. Okay.
Yeah, they're one number one pick short. That's what sucks about Detroit. They were so bad for so long, they only got one number one pick.
Yeah, that is crazy. Okay, well that's three incorrect guesses yep. for me. I'll put in one more the Dolphins just for guess.
Not the Dolphins.
And I also think Falcons or Saints?
Nope.
Okay, so I've already lost. Giants.
Nope.
Washington.
Nope.
Eagles.
Nope.
Cowboys.
Like all those teams have three. Nope, not the Cowboys.
Okay. The Rams.
Yes, the Rams are the other team with seven.
Okay. Oh, I did think Rams a little bit earlier. Thought that could have been it.
One is the Cleveland Rams. Two is St. Louis Rams. Four is the LA Rams.
Okay. Cleveland Rams at some point.
Yeah, 1938, I think, was that one.
Interesting. Okay. So, yeah, why don't you go ahead and tell us?
So, you got Indianapolis, LA in seven, and Cleveland in five. Arizona Cardinals are on there. At five.
I didn't pick the Cardinals because you said don't pick the new team.
Okay. No, but that's what I was telling you. Like, I told you, like, Arizona's not new.
Okay.
That's why I said Arizona's not new. There was a Chicago Cardinals.
All right.
I feel like I gifted you that one and you still didn't get it. And then Tampa Bay is the other one.
Okay, yeah, I can see Tampa Bay.
Yeah. I literally said Arizona, like, don't pick the new teams. Arizona's not new, to be fair.
Yeah, I guess there's so much moving around. I don't know if they should necessarily count. Because did you see that they said that, not when I say they, the NBA, so they can do what they want, but that Joel Embiid broke Wilt Chamberlain's Philadelphia 76ers record. Because when Wilt scored 100 points, he played for the Warriors. But I'm pretty sure it was the Philadelphia Warriors.
So is he counting, did the Philadelphia move to San Francisco, or did the Philadelphia Warriors change their name to the 76ers?
I'm pretty sure the Philadelphia Warriors moved to San Francisco.
So that's a Warriors record then, technically.
Yes. So what I'd be interested to see is if Wilt, did he then get traded back to the 76ers?
He must have, if that's what they're saying.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That's what they're saying, and then he also played for the Lakers for a sec.
It really sucks there's no footage of that game.
It does stink that there's no footage. Yeah. Like, you think someone would, like, send somebody out to grab a camera or something quick.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I knew that would be a tough one, but I was listening to an NFL podcast, like, on the draft this morning. I was like, oh, that'll be a good one.
Yeah, no, I thought that was fun.
Well, appreciate everybody listening. Again, 5-star review, subscribe, rate, all that good stuff. We'll be back next week. Conference championship will be over, so we'll be talking about Super Bowl. Probably some basketball stuff, because we'll have 2 weeks before the Super Bowl. We'll figure out some good stuff to talk about. Maybe get into college basketball or college baseball starting up.
There we go.
We'll talk to you guys next week.